Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all review Castello d'Abbolo Rara Chianti Classico. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight we have a special show because on the show is Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
As the Basement Jack said, yo, 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 yo.
You probably thought of that all day long.
Nope.
You just thought that, you were just planning that out. And
just rolled right off the top of my head.
And it failed. But also on the show is the Triple B.
Good evening.
Yes. On tonight's show, folks, we have a special, interesting wine, in my opinion. Just my opinion.
In my opinion.
Allegedly.
I'm not worried about slander. They're not going to be upset about me saying I find it interesting. But we have a Chianti Classico. Well, maybe
speak for yourself.
Possibly they would.
Allegedly.
That's true. But we have a Chianti Classico on the show tonight. So that means on the show, you're going to hear us butcher the Italian language like a sumbitch.
Worse than ever before.
Pretty much
worse
non-stop.
Than sin time.
It's worse than that.
Much worse. But the wine should be much better, theoretically.
Well,
on tonight's
show.
In our opinion. Possibly.
Allegedly.
Although we haven't formed our opinion yet, because none of us, I did not cheat.
Mm.
I have not had it.
I was going to cheat, but you were too quick on that.
That's true.
I know. I'm really tempted.
I know you should be.
I'm thirsty.
Because on tonight's show, we have a wine from Italy, Chianti Classico, naturally. But it's called Castello d'Abbolo. Rada in Chianti, Chianti Classico.
Say the name again.
Castello d'Abbolo.
Castello.
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 Castello. Castello. When the double L be
Abbolo.
D'Abbolo.
Ebola.
Abbolo.
To it.
Will it be Alboa or Ebola?
I don't know.
Abbolo.
It's Castello d'Abbolo. Rada in Chianti. That is the commune in which it's from.
Oh.
And the Chianti Classico from 2015.
Are you going to do... I feel like we should... Before we even start the episode, people, listeners at home are thinking, what is the over-under on number of times you all are going to make a reference to Silence of the Lambs?
I'm not going to do that at all. Scott will do it 42 times.
You're not going to do it one time?
Yes. He just did it.
It's going to be very irritating. But you brought it up.
Just did it.
No.
I know. I feel like I can really only handle Silence of the Lambs, like watching it one time a year. I love that movie, but it scares me to death.
Does it, Becky?
And we didn't get to watch it at Halloween this year. And so I feel like we still need to watch it, even though it's like Christmas time.
Do you still hear those lambs screaming in your mind, Becky? They wake you up at night, don't they?
Yeah. Do each of these sentences count as another reference?
What? I might do the show.
In the voice.
As Hannibal Lecter tonight.
Every single person listening in their car right now is screaming at the top of their lungs.
Scott's therapy is going nowhere.
Would you like me? I like me.
I think Scott tried to be lots of things in his life.
Next.
Unsuccessfully.
So.
Something else I want to talk about before we get too far.
What is that,
Becky? Like this.
Yes. What?
This Chianti, just in general, is like a huge favorite of both of you all. Of Wine Guy and...
Chianti?
It always was.
It
always was for me.
Scott does pretend to like Italian wines. Yes.
Chianti was probably my favorite wine. I just don't buy it as much.
Yeah, because they stopped having the wicker basket Chiantis as available as they used to be. Don't act like you bought good Chiantis.
I thought I did.
No, you didn't. No.
I've got a couple nice ones.
You were buying the base. Well, so do I.
I've got a couple nice ones in the cellar.
I've got several of these. And this is the party piece on this wine. Actually, this has got multiple party pieces, but the first party piece is it's $12.99 for a Chianti Classico.
Budget entry price.
But when we come back, the Triple B is going to reveal more about the party pieces, and then I'm going to reveal this wine's deep, dark secret here on the Wine Vault.
Folks, there are many ways to enjoy the Wine Vault. The first way is on iTunes. Look for the Wine Vault. Subscribe. Give us 5 stars. Beyond that, we are on Facebook at thewinevault.rs. We are on Twitter at Wine Vault Podcast. And our website is winevault.org. You can also drop us a line at winevault@outlook.com. We'd also like to thank our sponsor, Craig Walters Allstate Insurance, at 740-862-4585. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. We'll be right back on the Wine Vault.
And we're back, folks. So the 2015 Castello de Albola Rada in Criante, Criante Classico. We should find a nickname for this wine very quickly, so I quit butchering the name.
Ebola.
Ebola. That's no, no.
CDA.
Albola.
CDA. CDA.
Diabolo. You could say Diabolo.
Diabola. Yes.
Diabola.
Diabola.
D.
D.
Al.
Al.
Bola.
Bola.
Diabola.
Diabola. It was worse when Steve was trying.
I think it's Castello.
Castillo.
No, I think that double L is a yo.
Castillo.
Do you think it's
That's
Castella?
What we're saying, Castillo.
Cause
I think it's a soft D, probably. Yeah.
Castillo.
Castello.
Castello. Oh, I bet that's right. Castello Diabola.
We have such a grasp.
We're linguistic experts.
Uh-huh. On the Italian language.
So yes. CDA. Do you want me to read you some information about CDA?
Why not?
I would love you to read us some information about the CDA. Don't you dare, Scott.
The grapes are handpicked and then vinified with great care.
I would think that you... We come down there and beat them off with a stick. And then... That's Fry Brothers, probably.
This feels like they...
it helps with the presence.
The way that this is phrased, it feels like they've just typed it into Google Translate.
They might have. Although, I think these people speak English quite well.
No, well, just wait.
This is not Griffone.
The grapes are handpicked and then vinified with great care by using the traditional method of fermentation in the presence of the skins so as to highlight the strong personality conferred by the soils of Rada and Chianti. That's one sentence.
You know, when they listen to this podcast, which I'm sure they will, they'll probably be like, these people speak Italian very well.
Wow. Yes.
I know.
Yeah.
Mm. And then here they are critiquing our Google Translate.
No, that's right.
After the malolactic fermentation, the wine matures in Slavonian.
Slavonian, yes, that's pronounced correctly.
Oak barrels for 12 months. Have we seen Slavonian?
Slavokian? Slavonian? Slavokian?
Slavonian.
Yes. No, that is actually not unusual for Italian wines. Mm. Mm-hmm.
I thought we always said Slovakian. Were we saying that incorrect?
We've never said Slovakian. Oak barrels is Slavonian.
It's Slavonian.
Yes.
Okay. Right.
You can, though. I don't really care.
Slovakian.
Tell me where that comes from. Yes.
Hockey.
Well, that's true. No, they're one of the fewer. That's the thing. Slavonian oak is not that prevalent in the United States. Not to say that it isn't used, but it's lesser used. But in Italy, yes, that is somewhat common. Okay. Hungarian occasionally too, but it's very, very, very similar to French.
Hungarian,
they're very, very similar to French oak. It's just the Italians don't like the French.
Mm. Why don't they
rightfully
use Italian oak? They don't grow oak trees in Italy.
No,
they grow
this
instead.
Obviously not. At least they don't make barrels out of them. I mean, they make Ohio. There's oak trees in Ohio that'll make.
Right.
Apparently, they just suck at it. They just eat pasta and.
Actually, there is a cooperage in Jackson, Ohio now.
Yeah. Not for wine barrels.
Cree, it is being used for whiskey, but I'm sure they would sell you wine barrels if you so chose to select them.
They're probably
going
to use them to make whiskey wine barrels.
Maybe you could buy one of those barrels and make your new rosé out of it.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's very exciting. Well, does this wine have any reviews?
Oh, it sure does.
Does it? Mm-hmm. I'm shocked. I did not know this.
Well, it also is a perfect accompaniment for the richly flavored dishes of the traditional Chianti cuisine, like red tomato sauces, as well as for grilled
dick
and mature cheeses.
Scott just cheated.
You tasted it?
I hope it tastes like shit.
All right.
Before you do that, though, by the way, folks, the dark secret of this wine is it's owned by Zonin.
Bum, bum, bum.
Scott has a blank look on his face.
Well, I would have never...
I don't know who Zonin is.
Zonin owns about everything that's Italian.
They're not the... what's the C one? Constellation?
No, they buy and sell Constellation just on a Tuesday afternoon.
They're bigger than Constellation?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, yes. Yes. Mm. Yes. Oh,
have
yes.
They always owned CDA?
I would assume this is its own, because this is a producer that makes money things. So it's the umbrella that owns it. Mm. I would assume that they bought it at some point in time is what I'm asking. So they didn't always have it. I mean, okay. You know. Yeah.
What else does Zonin own? Just wine?
I don't know. Who knows? I think they probably own a great deal of German pornography, too.
What?
I don't know. I don't know what they own. Wine. It's a wine producer.
It's a big wine.
Spirits, producer. Too. I mean, they probably do spirits.
Okay. You want me to read reviews?
Sure.
All right. So I have two reviews.
Yes, it's true. What are they, Becky?
The decanter gave it a 95.
That's a lot of points.
Yeah, it is. Sweet, especially for how much?
$12.99. Well, normally it's $18, I think.
95 is a lot of points for...
Yes. Yeah, it's an awful lot of
points. $40 bottle.
Yeah, well, that's true.
They're like, oh, yes, this is delicious. 95.
Sweet vanilla oak, chestnuts, blackberries, and meaty characters mingle. Oh, that's a weird phrase. Meaty characters.
Yes.
Mingle.
Heavier set people.
I know.
Meaty characters. They met on the street corner. Oh, look at those meaty fellows.
Well, it says they mingle beautifully.
Oh, they mingle so beautifully. They dance. It's like hippos dancing.
So weird.
Meaty characters met on the street.
Meaty characters mingle beautifully on the nose. That is so weird.
That's almost a haiku.
Wander down the basement alley.
The palate displays clean fruit, smooth tannins, and an immaculate long finish.
There they cleaned fruit.
Immaculately.
And smacked their tannins.
What does that mean? Immaculate? Why
in the alley?
This is the question I have, and this is a very honest question. Why doesn't the decanter have more circulation in the United States? I have no idea why with that kind of clean fruit.
Clean fruit?
Yes.
And immaculate long finish.
Is dirty fruit a descriptor they've used other times? That's what I want to know.
I'm guessing.
Clean it up. Clean up that fruit.
Why not you mention it?
This is somebody that has an English degree and they're pissed that they don't get to use it. Like, well, writing their own
novel. Decanter's out of the UK.
Okay. Well, then they have a literature degree and they're pissed they can't write their own book. So they're writing these reviews. Ooh. That's exactly who's writing this.
Wow.
Awesome. Meaty characters mingle beautifully on the nose.
Yes, meaty characters.
Knocked him in the nose in the alley.
Oh.
It finishes.
Where's the bobbies?
The review finishes with polished and well made with an old school feel.
Interesting.
Also, we have a review from the Wine Spectator.
Oh, that was not purchased.
They gave it 92 of their points.
It's a lot of points. This is a cornucopia of points tonight.
Rich and lively.
Yes.
This exudes cherry, strawberry, floral, and woodsy aromas and flavors. It always surprises me when you read multiple reviews and there's no overlap.
They have nothing. Yes.
And decanter uses their own computer-generated 5,000 words that they just spit out the reviews.
It's 15 using. Words they use.
Well, they're saying like blackberries, meaty fruits, and this one says cherry, strawberry, floral, making you think it's going to be a much lighter, different wine.
The meaty characters they had Stetson cologne, which has whiffs of.
Well, here's the next best part.
Yes.
Firm.
Yes.
Yet nicely proportioned.
That's right. What? You don't understand that?
What does that have to
do? Nobody understands.
What does that even mean? This is why people don't drink wine, though. When someone drinks it, they're like, oh, this wine tastes firm, yet nicely proportioned. People are like, what the F does that mean?
Tastes firm.
It means it's somewhat tannic, but it's well balanced.
Mm. Why wouldn't you say that?
I don't know. Because they said it was firm. And whatever they said.
Nicely proportioned.
I feel
like that's like a creepy way to describe someone's body.
In reality, they're talking about the meaty characters in the corner still. So,
with a long fruit and tobacco-tinged aftertaste.
There you go.
Best from 2021 through 2036.
Holy shit. That's a long time.
And we're not there yet.
No, we're not. And thank you for waiting. I also, James Suckling, jamessuckling.com, please. Look at my Instagram and my Facebook and my YouTube and any way I can possibly make money because I'm starving to death. Mm-hmm. I provided this wine, 91 of my points, and I wrote, the palate has lots of rose water, nutmeg, and blood oranges. Why are you laughing, you asshole? I take my craft seriously. And then I wrote medium to full bodied somewhere. It's got succulent tannin and a juicy finish, just like me.
Well, I finish juicy. Getting, the only thing that these have in common is that there are tannins, and I guess we're going to be impressed by the finish.
No, no. Everyone tasted rose water.
Rose water?
No. Don't you taste rose water and oranges, nutmeg, and blood oranges? It tasted like a rusty hanger. It was lovely. I loved it.
This is so stressful.
There's no crossover in those
two. Rose water, nutmeg, and blood orange is not a good... That's not a well-defined wine. No, we don't want that.
Well, and the other one makes it taste like...
That's my favorite drink.
The decanter, like the meaty characters. What's that? Mince pie? Is that what it's called?
Mince meat pie, yes.
That's what I feel like we're going to be tasting, but there's no way.
No. And by the way, I know those meaty characters.
It makes it sound like you're going to be drinking a Pinot that has a tobacco flavor in it.
That's right. I saw Tim Atkins on the street corner. I said, what a meaty fellow. But I wasn't. Never mind.
No, do continue, James.
No.
Please don't.
I got verklempt. So... just a quick background on Chianti Classico for those that don't know. Chianti Classico is from Italy. Go figure, yeah.
What?
And I think we've talked about before, you have DOC, lower level, and then DOCG. And Chianti Classico is a DOCG, the next level up. Mm-hmm. Or Chianti, actually, as a whole. And so Chianti Classico is a subset, a sub-area within the greater Chianti. And really, it's considered the best. I mean, I could go through the Chianti itself has subzones that we can't pronounce, and the majority of them aren't available in the United States anyway.
Why?
Because they're small and they don't bring them over here. Often, you're going to see Chianti as just Chianti on the shelf. You know, Banfi, you know, Bola, Gabbiano.
I think sometimes it will be designated Rufina.
Oh, well, Rufino has a designated Rufina. I've seen that.
But the Chianti Rufina. I think you'll see that designation sometimes.
You will sometimes see that. Rufina is available in the United States sometimes. And
I don't know that I've seen the Colli Senesi.
Colli Senesi,
no. I don't
know
that I've seen that designated in that fashion.
Who says how they actually label it? I mean, if it's really small print on the back, we don't know.
That's possible, too.
But Chianti Classico, so you understand. Chianti itself is required to have 70% Sangiovese, and then the next 30 could have, oh, you know, virtually about anything. I mean, also including Cabernet, Merlot, and Syrah. Also, some regional stuff. But Chianti Classico, think of this. It is a better wine. It's more focused, and it has to have 80% Sangiovese. And then 10% can be Cab, Merlot, and Caniello Nero, and Corino, and a few other local stuff. They used to have white grapes
it's interesting.
It got banned in 2006, which is weird.
Relatively recently.
Yep. Now, they age this wine, just as it is, 12 months on oak. Okay? And that's what you saw, 12 months on the Slovenian oak. A reserve, and you'll see the reserva often. And that's 24 months And then there's a grand, we'll just call it Grand Selecciones.
Selección.
But it's Selección, a grand selection, essentially. And that's a 30 months. And the grand selection, you don't see very often. You see reserves all the time.
You will see the Grand Selección at a wine shop.
You will, although often you're going to find that on wine.com. But reservas, you're going to typically find everywhere.
Yeah.
You know. So, within Chianti Classico, they have 9 communes. And Rada in Chianti is one of those. And so that's what we have. And think of, go over to Southern Rhone in Côte du Rhône. You have a commune wine is better. You're shrinking the area in which it's from.
Right.
So when it's the more labeling in a European wine, the better typically it should be. Okay? So that's where we start from here. So in the glass. It is a dark crimson, slightly translucent, but that
Did
should
you mean
be.
Ruby red, tending towards garnet.
I mean meaty characters.
And what was the commune this was from?
Rada in Chianti.
Rada.
Rada.
I looked up Zonin, and they own a winery in the U.S. called Barbersville.
I've never heard of Barbersville, but I knew they owned stuff in the United States. Yeah.
It's in Virginia.
Really? You know what? I think we talked about that on the Trump episode.
Really? Why? Yeah.
Because we've tried to find something else to talk about.
It seems like they have something in Washington or Oregon as well.
I think just the one in the U.S.
Yeah. But that maybe you're thinking of Max Zorin, the villain in the James Bond movie that Christopher Walken played.
That's Max Zorin.
Did you get the two confused?
You probably did.
I'm always confused.
You're thinking about Grace Jones?
I fell off a ladder today.
Yeah, I could see. And then you got paint right up your nostril.
It's not paint. It's
what
it's
is it?
Something else. It's caulk. I used low temperature caulk.
Yeah, you had a caulk all over. You got caulk
off of you.
Caulk all over your face. Don't act like it's the first time.
Well. It's probably not.
Strangely
probably
enough,
my hair.
You weren't working on. Yeah, probably. Don't you hate that when you get it in your hair? Yeah. Did you get it in your eye?
No.
Can it burns. I tell you something really annoying about Zonin's website?
You can.
Okay, so they have a section devoted to the accolades given to their wines.
Yeah.
And you have to add filters to it first. Like, first you have to pick the winery and then, like, go through this whole thing to get all the accolades. And I just think it's like. Really, really arrogant that they don't just list them. Like, look, there's like a whole drop down list of stuff.
Well, maybe if they kind of did that.
They've gotten so many awards that they couldn't possibly just list them out. You'd have to go through and sort and give them a couple of qualifiers before they could.
Well, this one got 3 reviews that we know of. That's fantastic.
Our geeky IT listeners
are
going,
why
wouldn't you sort all the data?
Well, it did receive some other, they're calling these awards, but they're just reviews. Like a 90 points from James Suckling does not mean that that's a wine award.
Well, actually, I think that's a 2012.
It's the 13.
Well, 13, because they didn't realize they made anything after
that. Well, actually, a 90 from James Suckling is an insult.
Well, yes, I spit
like
on that one.
It received some awards, like best in class at the L.A. International Wine Competition.
Ooh.
But just getting a review of 90 points isn't an award. It's a review.
No, it depends on who you are.
Really only got 3 awards.
That's true. Got best in show at the Westminster Dog Show.
Winemakers Challenge Competition, they just got 91 points. They didn't get an award. Yeah, they were just reviewed and given points.
They got a yellow ribbon. They tied it in their hair.
Around the old oak tree. What about the Riverside Wine Competition?
They weren't invited to that one. They're like, fuck. It was too exclusive.
All right.
You gonna smell it first? Everybody's just drinking it.
I just wanted to.
I just did it. Here we go.
It's definitely what you'd expect. To look at it, it looks of an Italian wine. Light in texture in the glass.
Screams of fascism. No, it doesn't.
Yeah,
do that.
It sure does.
The nose is nice. Floral element just spiking through.
A little like anise in the background with it. It's wonderful nose.
That is actually a background of anise, but the floral streak.
I can't smell completely.
Honeysuckle.
Like
I'm about 82%. Yeah.
Did To me, it has, like, I'm getting a darker smell out of it. Not the, I can't smell the floral. I'm still, like, have congestion from this past week.
The anise?
This makes me want to sing.
Makes me want to blow my nose so I can smell better.
Rob's going to accompany me with his trumpet. I mean, his nose blowing. No, this Bugle makes me want to sing. This nose is wonderful.
Mm-hmm. It is a good nose. I'm going to see how it tastes.
Is it just a hint of sweet fruit on the nose? But you know what you don't get? Earthiness. No.
Slow clap.
Hmm. That's a brooding.
I'm not sure I feel about the acidity in this wine. It's almost over the top.
Well, that's because it needs age.
And they did say 21 of the reviewers said 2021.
To 2036, which is silly, but the Spectator went...
We're drinking it 17 years too early. Yeah,
the Spectator went buck wild on Chianti Classicos this last couple years. I mean, buck wild. Everything's getting a 92 to 95 to 90. And so did the canner. They all lost their ever fucking minds on Chiantis. And this is one of them.
I feel like Chiantis were like in my mind, they're like a old school, old movie wine. Like mobster-ish. And I feel like they, not that they weren't in vogue, but they are like having a resurgence again. Like they're a cool wine to have again.
Well, there's some really good ones out there. The mouthfeel on this is really the party piece.
I also, something I really like about this wine is you could spot that it's Italian from a mile away. Mm. I really like that about it. When you can tell, it is what it is. I like that.
And tonight we're drinking them out of Riedel Chianti Zin glasses. You know what? The James was right to a certain extent. In the mid palate, there's a blood orange and minerality that radiates.
You're and eating your words?
Provides, well, thank you. Why don't you all suck it? That radiates through the entire wine. It's such a nice, warming feeling.
That's right.
Blood orange is almost a cranberry. But there's not as rose water.
No, I'm not able to find the rose water.
I don't think you'll ever find the rose water.
Water's so subtle. How the fuck would you ever?
Right. Tannins are beautiful.
They really are. And
yeah.
I think what he's saying by rose water is there is a floral component to it, and it's lithe and light, and so it doesn't really have a. It doesn't really. It's not obtrusive. It just kind of is elegantly through the wine, just like rose water is nothing. It just has a light, you know, floral kind of lightness to it. And that's what this kind of has. But
does this have a, what's the mouthfeel on it?
It's a medium to full bodied.
No, I mean the mouthfeel.
The descriptor,
it has a pretty distinct mouthfeel to it.
It's almost buttery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Almost. It's not quite there.
Yeah.
It doesn't coat your tongue in an oily fashion, but it has sort of a, I'm going to call it that, almost buttery texture.
Mm-hmm. Well,
there's not a lot of wines that have this. Like I'm thinking about sometimes when you drink a white that has like a waxy feel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like this.
But this is also an adult wine. I mean, you know, it's not something that your novice, who knows? You have to appreciate it.
Imagine. This is not something everyone would love. It really isn't.
No.
Well, there was a time I wouldn't like this just because of my first comment, the acidity is almost over the top. It needs to calm down a little bit, and time will give it that. But without some chops per se of doing what we do and tasting a lot of different wines, I'm able to overcome that. The acidity is a little bit too much right now for seeing what it can become.
I think the acidity, it drinks okay.
It does drink okay.
It's just, you know, at $12.99, it doesn't hurt to pop one open and see what it's like, because I have two more and I can get tons at home buys.
Mm. I'll tell you what.
But I will. I'm going to get two or three more to sit back and just let go.
And that's what I would do with this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's a glorious, inexpensive midterm cellar. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to 2036. Maybe one bottle. I'll be dead by then. But no, I won't be dead. But maybe one bottle you let go, you know, to 2030. But, you know, in 5 years, then you start, you know, wheel them in. It's just kind of fun, though. It's a fun wine to sit back, because you don't have much invested in $12.99. It's nothing, really, for wine.
This is one to do that with. This is one to put in your cellar and just let it sit.
Mm-hmm. I like it very, very much.
The tannins are wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're... Sometimes Rob mocked me for saying that the tannins are fully developed.
They're underdeveloped is what you'd say.
Sometimes the tannins are burly and beastly.
True.
That's not what this is, but yet they're ever present. For an Italian wine, this is more tannic than a lot of Chianti's I've ever had.
Well, but because you drink stuff with a wicker basket, you know.
They're wonderful.
Oh, but that's the thing, though. Chianti's, Sangiovese, for the most part, is a misunderstood grape. Because they say, well, Sangiovese is light-bodied. Where did that ever fucking come from? Sangiovese can be a hairy-chested beast.
It can be.
And it's just, if you're drinking shitty Sangiovese, sure. But good Sangiovese, now obviously, you're adding Cabernet, you're adding Merlot, but in Chianti Classico, you're adding less. Fact. So you're adding these things to add a little more body, whatnot, but the true nature of the wine is still there. The Sangiovese, and it sings.
It does. Mm-hmm. But I think in a roundabout way, this is almost stereotypical of what you'd expect. I think that gets back to Becky's point of, you know, all day it's Italian. Mm-hmm. But it's got these couple characteristics that are just wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Mouthfeel. Wonderful tannins that are just a beautiful expression.
Yeah.
It's oaked fine. It's not over the top. I wish I had a little spiciness or something going on in the finish with this. It would be beautiful. Maybe that comes out with some aging.
Are you able to pull any of the... Someone said tobacco.
No.
Yeah, I was kind of tasting around for that. I don't think I can find it.
I think it's closer. I call it cranberry. Rob said... You know, blood orange, there's that in the mid palate, whatever that expression of fruit is. There's a little cherry there.
Cherry, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know.
What about meaty characters?
Overall, there is a minerality. Normally, I attribute meatiness to a little bit heavier. And this is a well-developed medium body.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But when I'm thinking meaty, I'm thinking... You know, salted red meat in the mid palate, and normally something a little burlier. Normally something with Syrah or Mourvèdre or Grenache in it. That really, those things really bring that about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, although Grenache sometimes, I mean, we've had some where they get port-esque.
Yep.
I mean, so it's odd in how that sometimes fluctuates a little bit.
I think the minerality, I would just go just like a flint, just a pure minerality.
Yeah,
just
straightforward.
Driven, you know, nothing funky.
River rock. Not quite river rock. Flint actually is a slatish flint.
Slatish,
Yeah. Yeah. But everything is well proportioned. Is that what they said?
Yeah.
It's balanced. Yeah. Easy drinker.
It's firm.
It's firm.
Yeah, it is firm, yet
with beefy characters.
Proportioned.
Yeah.
That's hysterical.
Yes, it's, I don't know. It's a decanter.
Do you think that some of the, like the oak tannins, that's what the Wine Spectator is calling tobacco tinged?
Mm.
I'm going to try, I don't see that at all, so I was...
Drew, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I don't notice anything I would necessarily call tobacco.
Nothing that way.
Nope. What about woodsy?
Strike two. You know it's oaked.
Look.
Yeah, maybe that's what they mean.
Now, this is the thing. The finish, I mean, you could throw the term tobacco around. It's not the first descriptor I would use.
I think it's actually an inaccurate term to describe the finish. I think if you were being lazy in describing the finish,
yeah, you're rounding off
tobacco.
You're rounding. You're cutting a corner there because no, that is not really. I mean, it has some characteristics of tobacco,
yeah.
But it doesn't do everything that it needs to do to be tobacco. Now, will it be tobacco in Could 5 years? It might be.
I think it's more likely to go like leather because that's kind of closer of what I see in the finish.
Yeah, it is.
It's just a wisp of that type of earthiness and
that's faint. That's where the kind of the edge of tannin are, and it is more leather, and just kind of well, actually, if you're going to say anything was woodsy. It's woodsy and leather right there, woody and leather. I wouldn't call woodsy. Woodsy suggests it might have some sort of a Sherwood Forest kind of mushroomy quality.
Like
doesn't
moss.
Have that.
That's what you think. Like when you talk about woodsy, like mossy, green.
Yeah, there's a difference between woodsy and woody. Mm-hmm. Woody means, hey, there's oak there present. That isn't necessarily spicy or anything like that. It's just, it's woody.
Right.
Woodsy, yes, that is more suggestive of, oh, there's a rabbit. Oh, a squirrel. Oh, look at these pretty flowers.
Woodsy like a lumberjack. I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. I sleep all night and I work. Put on women's clothing and hang around in bars. Everybody!
You sing that song all the time, so you can't say anything.
Yeah, it's been on the show.
I'm sure you have before.
Scott wasn't singing the song. He actually says that out loud because he wrote those lyrics about himself. So,
well.
I wish I was a girlie just like my dear papa. That's right. It's an interesting song.
Hysterical.
That's a good song. Monty Python, for those that don't know.
So I have another question for you all.
Uh-oh.
So to me, this wine, well, let me ask the question first. How many glasses could you drink of this wine?
44.
Oh.
75.
Really?
Easy.
Okay.
I could drink like 6 bottles of this.
That's easy.
Let me tell you how many bottles I could. I can drink like a whole case. This would be like 4 bottles. That would be great. Yeah.
Fantastic.
I honestly don't know if I could drink more than 2.
Cool. Because then I would drink the rest of the bottle.
No, because I just think there's so much going on and it's so. I don't know. I think like between the mouthfeel and the finish, I don't know that I could drink this.
You do you. I'll do me.
I was just wondering if anyone else felt
I'm going to put a funnel in my mouth and just so I can just get it going faster.
No, not just that, but let's say we're at Scally and this happens to be on the menu.
Yeah.
This would be a bottle that would be exhausted probably before the appetizers came out.
Yeah.
This would be a multiple bottle.
This would be so
type
good at
night.
Scally's, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh my
Once
God.
Again, this is another bottle that's better than the Gaja Promise we had at Martini's. And that was pretty good.
It
but
was
this
pretty
is better.
Good.
This is better.
It was. I know we kind of poo pooed it, but I don't really. It was.
You don't remember, do you?
It wasn't memorable.
That's not a good thing when you're $60 Chianti, essentially.
Of course. That was a 4-bottle night. And
was it 4 bottles or 3?
It's 3. That was the great debate.
No, it was 4.
That was the great debate night.
Oh, about keto?
Yeah.
That didn't go too well. Yeah, you know, because we had, what was that? Was it Mount Veeder?
Yes.
Yeah, that wasn't very good. Shocking. Then we had your stupid Stag's Leap's wineries, Petit Sirah, which is not very good.
Which was good.
Not good.
It was better than the other.
Is it $50 good? No, it's not as good as McManus. That's sad.
It was better than the other two.
I have another question.
Yes.
Off of the menu at Scally's.
Yes.
What would you order to drink with this?
For sure.
This, yes, makes me think of, this, of the first thing when this hit my mouth was, this would be great with beef bourguignon.
Okay.
But I had a wonderful seafood special there. last spring that had everything in the house mm-hmm. in a big, like, red clam sauce, but it had prawns, it had scallops, there was a chewed up lobster.
Oh, that's really great. Like, I love when people chew my lobster up. You mean shredded?
You know what I mean? Well, not exactly. Kind of pseudo chunk torn with a kind of shredded.
But you understand chewed means someone put it in their mouth and chewed it.
It was a descriptor. I used colorful language.
Maybe it was a dog that chewed it.
He's trying out for the decanter.
Were there meaty characters in this? I saw the meaty characters and they chewed my lobster.
It was delicious.
Was it kind of like the shit that you served us in Vegas when you were making breakfast?
That's called hash.
No, that was called steak you chewed on.
You're so retarded.
Don't say that.
And you were nude when you were cooking it.
Don't say that.
Becky, I had gym shorts on.
No. No, okay. you were in your underwear.
No.
And you had a wife beater that was very loose. I mean, it left nothing to the imagination. And trust me, I was trying to imagine anything else. And Steve's like on his laptop, I'm working. He does more of the, I'm working. And Hank's laying there in the bed with his balls hanging out. He's like laying in there with his legs spread. And you can look right up his damn box with his balls. It's like, God, man, put a sheet over your body or close your door or wear pants or don't wear. Come on, man. I don't want to. This is the best thing, folks.
Yet I get accused of walking around naked.
I know. Can we talk about literally anything?
We come out of the bedroom and Scott slept on the couch. Okay. And you had eaten that. You had that Mexican food in that those styrofoam containers.
Allegedly Mexican.
And it smelled
food.
Like shit. And he was all naked, sleeping on the couch, all drunk and naked, smelling of dirty Mexican food. I'm not saying the Mexicans are dirty. I'm saying the Mexican food smelled. The dirt food smelled dirty. And oh my God, I'll make hash. Pulls out a chewed steak.
It was not chewed.
It was chewed.
It was a porterhouse. It was the whole entire strip side of it.
Except for the part that you had already eaten.
Yeah, but that didn't come in contact with my mouth. There's this thing called a knife.
Jesus. Anyway, and then the pita bread. Hank had a hero or what the hell he had. And it was like all the crap that fell out of the damn thing. Why would you save that? It's like you scooped up his plate and God, gross bastard. So, folks, we're going to take a break. Back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, I'm going to take on Scott in pro and con. Triple B said she would like to judge something sometime. I said fine. So
can you review the rules for pro and con?
Yes. Pro and con.
Off the air, Rob said a funny.
I'm sure I did.
He said, "I'm fair."
Well, I'm not fair to you, but I'm fair to her, and that was the point.
Well, again, that's kind of funny saying that, too.
Well, it's true. But nevertheless, on pro and con, you take a subject matter, and it's just like a little piece of paper in a little plastic bowl here. Before you look at the topic, you have to say whether or not you are going to argue pro that topic or con. And then you argue as you need to. Your opponent, that would be Scott in this instance, would argue the opposite. Regardless, and this is the thing, you will argue pro or con regardless of your personal feelings about the topic.
Columbia Valley versus.
I will start.
Yeah, what were we?
Columbia Valley, which is like.
But what was the other one?
Russian River. But yeah. That was a different game.
Oh, yeah, that was. Bordeaux. I think the last time I had to be pro Ohio wines.
Here I go. I'm going to say pro because I'm a positive person. Uh-huh. So are you going to write down pro? Pro Barossa. That's not actually that easy because that's all right. All right. Okay. Barossa, first of all, for those that don't know, that's an area in Australia that really focuses on Shiraz. I think they might also do Semillon. I'm not sure. Yes, they do some Semillon. Barossa, stylistically, we've had some ones that have been on the show, but historically, I've had some great stuff. It's just they take a little time. They take a little time to develop. So when you're just buying something off the shelf and saying, hey, here we go, we're going to drink it today, probably not what you want to do with Barossa.
Sounds a little con.
Set it back. And once you do, those things will develop. The one thing that I really liked about Barossa, and I'm thinking of Elderton's Shiraz, their Barossa Shiraz. It's low 20s. It always, I haven't had it probably in 15 years, but I still remember it. And it has a buttery quotient to it that was so memorable and so enjoyable. I still to this day remember that. And that's I never have had a negative opinion of Barossa because of that experience with Elderton. I had it multiple times, but every time he had this butteriness that I always, always enjoyed. And I've always remembered that. And that's why Barossa is special to me. So, Scott.
You're special, all right.
Barossa sucks. Go ahead.
Barossa's harsh.
Wait, he doesn't have to give that example. He gets to pick his own.
No, his con on Barossa.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. We played the game. I don't remember how.
It's harsh. It's in no way. No, it's the last Barossa we had on. We just like, ugh. Harsh. It's not something our listeners are probably going to appreciate, particularly in the budget end. Barossa's not a friend. And contrary, Elderton or elderberry wine or whatever.
See, ignorance.
Yeah, but Barossa's a region. It's harsh. It's why you mock Shiraz. Because of the brutish Barossan night. Elderton aside.
What Barossa night was that?
You know the night I'm talking about.
I don't know, and I'm a little scared now. You mean Clancy? What was that? See, that one wasn't Clancy. Was it Clancy? What was it? Peter Lehman.
Lehman.
Peter Lehman, the Barossan. That one wasn't brutish. That one was just, eh. And if it hadn't gotten a 92 from the Spectator, I don't think we would have.
Correct.
You know, we would have had a more positive opinion about it. So I think that that was one thing. But quite frankly, this
is Scott's turn.
He demurred.
Are you finished?
There.
He never started.
Not something our listeners are going to care for.
Why?
There's
plenty of other regions to go to. Don't downgrade our listeners.
You want Barossa? You're going to have to spend big bucks to get something nice.
No, 24.
Okay.
That's what Elderton says. All right. Here you go, Scott. Pro or con?
Do I get to tell who wins this or no? Is it the whole thing?
You can do it however you want. Okay.
75.
Everyone that was listening knows who
95.
won. 95. What?
Elderton.
I mean,
you got to say program before you read it, dumbass.
No, I'm cheating.
No, last time we got to read it. No, you didn't, Scott. Put that back in there.
Yeah. Pro.
No, put it back in there and pick out another one.
Good.
What is it? No, let me see it.
No.
What was it? What?
Pro. Oh.
Pro.
You're so pro. Okay.
I said pro.
What is it?
Port.
Oh, I gotta say con port. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Port. Oh, how do I love thee? I've not met truly the port that I didn't love yet.
Oh, I've got one.
You know, granted, I haven't done the Taylor Fladgate yet.
What's that really, though?
Yeah, well, the budget of budgets, right?
No.
But Coburn's.
Fairbanks is the budget of budgets.
Fairbanks is the budget of budgets.
Taylor Fladgate is one of the premium producers.
But they have a $8 line, too, right?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Oh, you mean Taylor's. That's not Taylor Fladgate.
It's not the same.
No, you dumbass.
Well, I don't know. I love
Port. That's a dude named Taylor. There's Taylor's trucking company right up here. Might be him.
Port. On first glance, you think, oh, it's just a sweet dessert wine. I enjoy breaking down the characteristics in port as much as any wine we've ever done on the show. There's a little more subtlety to it. But when you get into the layers of caramel and then the different types of spice. That with port, for whatever reason, you can pick them out much more easily and enjoy. And it's just a wonderful experience. Wine Guy turned me on to it. I love it. And my next allotment of wine for the show, I bought a bottle of port. But that's for me, son. Port. Don't go back.
All right. So con port.
Yeah, this ought to be good.
Well, not all ports are good. I mean, think of like Evenness. That was terrible. Dow's Finest Reserve Tawny that I just had. Not good. I drank it, but it wasn't good. See, the thing is, port has, it's polarizing. You know, some people will, you either like it or you don't. And that's the thing about port. And it'd be nice if everybody enjoyed it, but it is medicinal in a certain sense. And that causes people some pause. And I understand that. Triple B doesn't like port at all. Won't even touch it. It makes her ill. And whenever you have something like that, you realize, I'm a little bit of a freak because I really like it. That's a fact. So you kind of accept the mainstream. Not everyone's going to get down with port. It's another level, and it doesn't necessarily make you intelligent. It just means that you like to get really drunk. The other thing about port, it fucks you up real bad. So if you lose your mind, and you, for me, and you say, I'm going to drink, I drank accidentally, by accident, a bottle of Warrior's one time, the Warrior. I forgot my name for 3.5 days. That's not a good thing. It's not.
Well,
but
depends who's chasing you. How many bill collectors are knocking on your door?
See, that's negative. You're also besmirching the Triple B when you say that.
No, I'm besmirching you.
Well, but nevertheless, I understand, though.
She doesn't drink port.
It's one of the most, I know. It's one of the more polarizing wines out there. And I think sometimes, Scott, that you're condescending to people that don't enjoy it. And I find that is offensive to me.
I'm condescending?
Yes, you ruin port for other people. That's the con.
I'm condescending.
Yeah, you're the con, essentially.
I'm condescending.
Yeah, well, yes, very much so. Elitist, I think, would be the term I would use.
Oh, my God.
Yes, elitist. All right.
Ridiculous.
All right, now on to me. Because I'm positive, I'm going to say...
How many are you all doing? 3?
We'll do 5.
Yeah.
5? 5.
You guys did 9. I'm going to say...
We did.
Yeah, but you didn't speak as long as we did. Pro, because I'm positive. Okay. Pro. I must have been doing this when I wrote
this. Yeah, I know. I feel like it is.
Smoking while drinking wine.
Mm. You're the one pro. Who told me to put it back in the basket.
Hey, whatever. Smoking while drinking wine. Okay, pro, folks.
I have something to talk about.
All right. There are many reasons why it's positive to smoke while you drink wine.
Why don't you list one?
Yeah, tell me all about them.
Without your face turning completely red.
Well, the first thing is if you're drinking 19 Crimes, it's good to smoke. If you're drinking Fry Brothers, it's best to smoke.
It's best to put a gun to your head.
Well, that's a little severe. A cigarette will do. You know, actually, sometimes, I've never done this, but cigars and port. See, a cigar with port is actually... I've never done it. Maybe someday I will. Is a good experience because the port is so strong. Ports are wonderful, you know, as we recently not established. But port and cigars do go well together. I've been told. I've not done it. But, yeah, there are so many damn bad wine. Butter Chardonnay, Scott. Are you telling me that wouldn't taste better if you had smoked a pack and a half and we're sitting in the middle of a fucking humidor?
It would taste better if you put your car in your garage.
Yes.
It would have been better
at a clam bake.
Carbon monoxide filled up your lungs.
But short of killing yourself, Scott, there are alternatives, and that would be smoking. So, you know, hey, I think actually, you know, doing snuff while you're on drinking Butter Chardonnay is probably better. Becky, you did not experience Butter Chardonnay.
Snuff films.
Well, that's true. It actually is the precursor to any snuff film, Butter Chardonnay. It is dog shit, the worst stuff in the world. But, I mean, there's so many damn bad wines out there. Fuck it. You know? What are you going to do with Double Down? You're going to smoke. That's what you're going to do. You're going to smoke like a chimney. What are all these bourbon barrel wines for? They're for smoking while you drink.
Mm.
That's what... Think about it. Smoothed out, a little bit of a bourbon tinge, which is disgusting in wine. But what is that actually decent? It kicks up the flavor notch. So if you're smoking, you can taste it.
You know
it.
What? You're so committed to this.
That's true.
We're going to start a new pairing.
What, smoking?
Part of the episode. Mm-hmm. What cigarette mm-hmm. would you smoke with this wine? Yeah,
Virginia Slims.
Always. So, there you go.
Okay.
Marlboro Light.
I can't believe you passed on that, you pansy.
You said put it back.
No, I didn't. You just put it back.
The obvious is con.
Is it?
We don't smoke and drink wine. It ruins your palate because you're smoking. It ruins your palate. Period. End of discussion. This is dumb. You lose. Con wins.
Wow.
We do not smoke and drink wine.
Such a good argument.
It's a simple argument.
It isn't about being right or wrong. It's about how convincing you are in your right or wrong.
No. Yeah, Becky's the judge. She gets to use her own criteria.
All right, whatever.
Con wins.
What? What you? No, wait a second. Put that back. Put it back in there. You have to say pro or con before. You dumb bastard. It's the simplest damn game.
You changed the rules. Last time we did.
No, Scott. It's
the
it's exact same thing. No,
you
say pro
say
or
last
con.
Time we had to pick the category.
No, you didn't.
Con.
He's had it before.
What is it? What?
Fucking Russian River Valley.
Oh, con. Yeah, you don't know anything.
I'm con.
Yeah,
no, I'll con. Tell you why I'm con.
Okay, I'm pro.
Because it's freaking Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. And who wants to drink that crap? Russian River. The primary grapes are Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. Chardonnay.
What about Zinfandel? Chardonnay. You ever had Zinfandel from there? There's lots of Zinfandel.
But there's some Zinfandel.
No, there's lots of Zinfandel.
There's lots of Pinot Noir.
It's a primary grape in Russian River
of
Valley.
Chardonnay. No, the primary grapes are.
No, they're not.
Yes.
No.
Correct.
No. Go ahead.
I'm typing.
Oh, so you're going to let me go.
Was that the end?
Russian River
Never
Valley
started.
Sucks. Pinot Noir, Chardonnay. I got nothing for you.
We know that.
I wanted Columbia Valley.
Here we go.
Why didn't I get the Columbia Valley? Why did she get Columbia Valley?
I don't know. So
unfair. Okay. Unfair.
Pro Russian River Valley. First of all, Russian River Valley aesthetically is beautiful. Lush, wooded, winding roads. I mean, everything is just like this little back road. And on this back road, you'll pull up and there's Tuolumne. Not that you're excited about Tuolumne, but you pull up and there's Pedroncelli. And, you know, Pedroncelli is sitting there and there's a big ass field just right across. Not a wine, not vineyards, just a field. These things are just tucked in this little nestle of gloriousness. Most beautiful place I've ever been to. But forgetting about that, the wines. The interesting thing about Russian River Valley, the wines just tend to have a different tinge to them. So for Pinot Noir, once again, you're going to have a racier, more exciting Pinot Noir. It and Anderson Valley, I think, are the two best places for Pinot Noir. Caneros, you can say that all the long day. Russian River, Anderson Valley for
me. What's the Chardonnay going to be like from Russian River Valley?
Chardonnay, Russian River Valley, once again, I've never really been thinking about it. Last time I had a Russian River Chardonnay. My thing is, I've not really done the expensive ones in recent memory. I have in the past. But I think, let's see here. Now, a lot of it's Chalk Hill. Racier, once again. But the Zins, really, and Reds are what we care about here on the show anyway.
What's a Russian River Chardonnay is like?
Who cares? The Zins, high alcohol, potent, just kick the doors in kind of Zin. Big Zins, glorious, high alcohol Zins. And think about some of the better ones. Martinelli, that's where they're primarily out of. Hartford, Bedrock does stuff there.
Kendall Jackson.
That's not real. What's Kendall? They were the next one I was going to say. Okay. But, you know, Mary Edwards for Pinot as well. Mary Edwards, they have a Russian River Sauvignon Blanc that is one of the best Sauvignon Blancs in California. There's so many beautiful things that come out of there. It almost, you take all day to say it. But it's one of those things. It's aesthetically more beautiful than other places. I mean, Dry Creek, Napa, Sonoma, Russian River Valley. Ooh.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
There we go. How many have we done?
Four.
Oh, so this is the last one.
By the way, grape varieties, 42% of the grapes harvested in the Russian River Valley are Chardonnay, 29% are Pinot Noir.
Okay.
Bum, 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 bum. And
pro.
Our favorite. Those are our favorite varietals.
You're going to be pro.
Oh. Pro is Bowen.
What?
Bowen.
As in B-O-E-N?
Yes, Bowen.
I don't know anything about Bowen.
That's too bad.
I don't know what Bowen is either.
Yeah. Bowen, folks, is the Pinot Noir label by Joe Wagner. yes. And they had a little bit of trouble in Oregon, as we know, for labeling the stuff. I'm surprised everybody forgot. But no, that was Elowan. But Bowen is another one. I think it's Copper Cane as well. Bowen, we've had on the show. It's one of those wines that, and I probably meant to write Elowan on the label, but instead I wrote Bowen. Yeah, whatever. It's one of those higher production. You can find it in the grocery stores, Pinots. Okay, and they have Sonoma County, they have Russian River. We've done a couple on the show. And the one thing I will say about Bowen is, yeah, Steve brought one time, we had another one another time. It's one of those things where, while it might not be classic Burgundian, it at least has the qualities that expose people to Pinot in a less threatening manner. So you are going to get a little bit more bright fruits, but it does have little trickles of the proper varietal character. And that's good because then, you know, it's the gateway. We always talk about good gateway Pinot Noirs. This one is a little bit more expensive, but in Pinot, you have to pay a little bit more. But for around $20, Bowen is an excellent little gateway Pinot. It's not Meiomi. It's much better than Meiomi. But it also, though, isn't Monterey and that bullshit. It's Sonoma, Russian River. It's up there. It's proper. It's not in bullshit Monterey. It has some nice qualities to it, and then that will lead people into other things. Scott doesn't know anything about Bowen, so it's going to be interesting what he says against it. But, you know, it's one of those things. It's nice. And that's sometimes all you can necessarily say is something. It's nice. It has pleasing characteristics, but it does enough to lead you along where you need to go.
Sometimes that is all that you could say.
And it gets you drunk.
You have to remember that.
Sure.
You have to be nice.
Go ahead, Scott.
Russian River Valley, Pinot. Yeah. Why? It's Joe Wagner, Meiomi. Why?
This Bowen is a person. Makes Meiomi?
No.
But Joe Wagner makes Meiomi. And Joe Wagner is
no,
Bowen.
No, Joe Wagner does not make Meiomi. He sold it, remember?
Joe Wagner is Meiomi. He always will be Meiomi. That's points, son. Triple B does not care for a person who mislabels his wine.
Not on Bowen.
And markets it in a facetious manner. Falsely advertising a wine as having Oregon roots.
That's Elowan, you dipshit.
Joe Wagner's Joe Wagner, brother.
Not this. This is his Cali brand, not Elowan.
Integrity's integrity.
No, I probably meant to write Elowan on that, but I wrote Bowen because it's easier to spell.
Hmm. I get it. But it's still Joe Wagner. And we know how the Triple B feels about that.
You love Joe Wagner. You'd be Joe Wagner in 2 seconds if you could.
Well, I'm making Pinot Noir.
Mm.
Are you all ready for scoring?
Hopefully.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So the first one you all did was Barroso.
Mm.
Rob lost that one.
Fuck.
He interrupted 3 times.
Oh, kiss my ass. This is horseshit.
His example was 15 years old.
Oh,
and the
suck.
Best he could say was, it's special
you
to him.
Dipshit.
Yeah. So, Scott, you almost won that by default. But you did say it was harsh as a region.
It is.
It's not.
For port, Scott, you lost that.
Damn it. I love it, though.
Dumbass.
How
are you going to lose that?
Because I don't like port, really.
Well, there's that.
There's yeah. what it was. Honestly, that's
she's a great judge, folks.
And, well, mainly because Rob talked about how it was polarizing and you understand why people don't like it.
I was lying.
He was
You're
lying.
All stupid.
He was
but you already said I won on that, so too bad.
I've already scored it. this whole no, thing. You, no, you
the scoring is wide open. You know, it's,
oh, so you shut all up, are tied on the.
You could go to VAR. You could go to video.
Oh, video replay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then we talked about smoking while drinking.
In fact, I'm throwing my flag.
So you might think that Scott would win because it ruins your palate. I felt like you missed the boat on negative health effects.
Oh, good point.
You didn't even touch that.
Hmm.
And the cigar with poor argument, I felt like that was better than...
He made that up totally, too.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, people do that.
And I did appreciate how you said bourbon barrel wines might need...
it actually, I had an epiphany on that one. Wait a minute, that actually would work.
So then when you all discuss the Russian River Valley...
So I'm up 2-1, right?
You're really going to allow him to win.
Yes, you're
smoking
allowed
with wine.
2-1. So for Pinot, for Russian River Valley, I gave that to Scott. I thought that you missed a lot of opportunity there, though, because you missed discussing Zen and you bashed Pinot. But Rob majorly missed the opportunity to discuss the trip that he went to the Russian River Valley with me.
I did. I talked to you.
You said that when I went there, it was beautiful. You didn't mention a single thing.
I was talking about you.
Didn't mention your pregnant wife.
Nope. Sure didn't.
So, lost some points folks, there, son.
Folks, you can see why Triple B does not get to judge shit on this show.
I did appreciate that you provided specific examples and discussed how beautiful
Kiss
it was. But that was a major miss.
That's a bunch of dumb ass shit.
So then the last one was Bowen.
That was the last one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Rob, I thought you broke down the topic well and explained how it's an intro into Pinot. Scott, I felt like you were trying to sway me with fake news.
That's not fake news, it's real news.
It actually Joe is, Wagner because that's sucks. Not Bowen.
So, didn't say Rob wins.
Yes, Joe Wagner
I won, Scott.
3-2, as much as it pains me.
Joe Wagner.
So that means I won 5-0.
Joe Wagner is Bowen. There's his picture right there.
So, folks, we're going to take a break after Scott got his ass kicked.
Joe Wagner. Right there. There he is.
And be right back here
Joe Wagner.
On the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault?
I know the Unlicensed does.
Well, that's great. Do you know how you can get that done? Do you know the one way the world can find out about the Wine Vault?
What way is that, Rob?
Giving us a review on iTunes. So, take the time. Give us that 5-star or whatever. Let us know, let the world know that you love the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. We're back, folks. So,
we're mourning the loss of cats.
No, we're not.
Yes, we are.
I'm fine with it.
It's
the
terrible.
15 Castello de well, CDA. CDA here on the show, folks.
Castello Diabola.
Rada Incante Chiante Classico. We're going to start off with a Triple B to provide a review.
From Rada Incante.
From CDA.
Mm-hmm. We'll be winning for a second glass this time.
I want to give it a high score, but
are you revisiting? You could only do 2 glasses of this.
No, I'm about maxed out. Honestly, I've had like a glass and a half, maybe.
Yes, you have.
Yeah,
it's a lot for you.
I can't get anywhere near that 95.
No one asked you to.
Well, I know. I'm just saying. I'm like having a little bit of internal conflict. When you drink something that was rated a 95 and you don't have that same thought, it makes you pause.
In reality, it doesn't make us pause. No. We've had many decanter 95s and they've all turned
you
out.
You let these scores influence you way too much.
I know. No, I like. Yes. I'm like kind of torp about it and you guys are like,
psh. 95? That's the James Suckley 92. The decanter 95.
I would think the only, and he's retired now, so we don't have to worry about this. If Parker scored something 95 and we've.
Okay, yes.
The club,
fair enough.
Be,
spectator,
we never,
maybe.
Did we, I think maybe one time, and I can't recall which one, there was like one time where Parker gave something a high score and we were like, meh.
That's because he doesn't throw out a 95 on your bullshit.
No, he did.
Yeah. The Spectator might a little bit. Not too bad. I mean, a wine's going to be good for a Spectator to give a 95 to. The Decanter, it means nothing.
Yeah.
James, yeah. You better have a secondary score in there of some kind.
He just gives crazy scores.
Yeah.
But what was this? He was 91 on this?
Yeah. Oh. So, Decanter. Okay, what the tasting panel get? I mean, that's what we're talking about here.
Vitter. Riverside Wine Festival.
Dunnock? We normally respect Dunnock stuff.
No, you just think he's a handsome man.
That too.
And you like his hair.
It's part of him being handsome.
It's creepy.
No, it's all right. Go ahead.
Okay. So that's my first source of conflict. My second is that I feel like we are drinking this early.
True.
And so giving it a score now, it feels low to me, but I would love to revisit this in several years and see what we actually score it. So all that being said, I love that you can tell it's Italian. You can for sure pick out that it's a Chianti. I love that. I love that it has ageability. That like just lends itself to me to a nicer bottle of wine. The tannins, the mouthfeel. I'm going to go with an 88, but totally recommend. Would buy again. I'm glad that we have several bottles.
So it gets quiet in the vault.
I know.
I'm at a 90. Yeah.
I almost went 91.
Really?
The as this continued to open, I embraced the acidity for sure. And I think it did somewhat calm down. I love that combination of flavors that are going on and the tannic backbone of the wine is phenomenal. It's an Italian finish. It's not this big long finish, but this is a lively wine.
Oh, it is
a lively wine, from the acidity to that almost buttery mouthfeel. Medium towards full body, but it's a medium body on the Rob and Scott scale. I'd give it a 5.8, giving it just short of getting to full body. But yeah, 90. Oh, do I want to give this a 91? I'm sticking with the 90, son. But I recommend this highly, and I'm looking over at the wall. I don't know.
Oh, I think it belongs for sure in the wall.
Which wall?
Which was value. The question?
Value.
I only say value because, no, so I'm like in 88, 89. I only say value because I think when we drink this again in 2025, it is going to knock our socks off, and that's when it goes in the Wall of Fame.
Well, you can.
That's the reason why I say that.
You can be a futurist.
And I am scoring it on that this is not ready for drink now, that it is it needs to sit back. And you can see the characteristics that are going to change with this. That acidity will calm down, and the tannins are going to be there and change, and the minerality, what's it going to be? What's the fruit going to be? And it's interesting. I love that you called it blood orange. I gave it more of like kiss of cranberry.
I'm sorry, it's blood orange.
With that cherry. That was wonderful fruit expression.
Mm-hmm.
And my score is, I'm going to provide this wine 90 of my points.
Is what it is?
However, given the fact that we know that it's going to improve, it does not go in the Value Price Hall of Fame. It goes into the Hall of Fame.
I think justly. What?
Yes. Overridden.
I think justly.
Rejected.
It's going on like the hopes that it's going to get better. We haven't tried it to confirm it.
Hall of Fame. See, when we have boo-boos like Kendall Jackson's summation in that fucking Hall of Fame. I mean.
That should come down.
I mean, let's be honest. You know.
Do they even make that anymore? We should try
it again. But I think it's called Red Blend.
It's called the table blend at Olive Garden.
We got the Dry Creek's Fumé Blanc, you know, what the hell.
You love Dry Creek Fumé Blanc.
I think this is better than Vigna Annonori, don't you, Scott? I mean, it's like bottom two levels. But
different than the Antinori.
It is. The Antinori has more cabinet.
Yeah. To some degree, it's comparing apples to oranges, but not exactly. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. But it's going in that bottom level.
Yeah.
Because of Becky's 88, mostly.
Nah, it's
I was an 88, 89.
That's fine. It's not climbing that Hall of Fame wall. This is not spectacular. It's really good, though.
It's really good, and it's at $12.99, it's worth buying more of. Because you know it's ageable.
For sure.
Yeah, and we know we can get it.
Not only that do we know it's ageable, but we like it now, and it's really not ready.
Right. No.
It's really not ready.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a fine drink. Brandy, she's a fine girl. What a good wife she would be 6 bottles later.
My love, my life, my lady is the sea. So, folks. You know, when you do that, it's like all people hear is because there's no tonal difference. Do, 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 do. Don't you have any, like, you know, dynamics? No.
There's a port on a western bay.
Do, 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 do. Yes, folks. So, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, we are going to bid you adieu and see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.